Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to hear from you right now. Lord, I pray that you would help us all to hear from you. Help me, Father, to speak your words. God, may my words be your words, even now. God, may your message alone be proclaimed in this time. And God, may you be glorified in the proclamation of your word. May you also be glorified in the way that we respond to your word. Help us, God, that we would hear you and respond in faith today. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I do hope that you had a very Merry Christmas. We find ourselves in a very interesting time here, right? Not only with COVID things and our online worship, but I've always found this week in particular to be a very interesting week, especially when we're talking about the church, right? This week between Christmas and New Year's, it seems like this kind of not wasted time necessarily, but we're just sort of all on vacation, right? Kids are out of school. Even if you do go to work, like odds are you're probably not doing as much as you might normally be doing, right? I'm just being honest here, right? There's sort of a coasting in this week that happens, you know, and some people are out visiting family, some people are just staying at home. I know even for myself, like next week or this coming week, you know, we had plans to go to Ohio and be with family there and everything. Like there is something about this week between Christmas and New Year's that just, I don't know, particularly even in the church calendar, it's sort of a dead zone, right? That you don't really do anything there because, you know, schedules are all over the place. How would you even plan on people being there? All those kinds of things, right? You got this week between these two big celebrations, one of the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ and one of the celebration of this new year, this starting over according to our calendar. But it's this space in between that I want us to talk about today. What are we doing with this space in between? As we are following up here from our season of Advent, I want to, in this week, kind of bring a conclusion to this sermon series that we've called World Changer, as we've looked at Jesus as the fulfillment of the prophecy that was made in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. And so we've talked the last 4 weeks about how he has been that wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. But you know, there was time between when Jesus was declared by the prophecy to be these things and the time when he actually was born and fulfilled them. And what was life in that space between? Even what was happening in the space between when Jesus was born but had not yet started ministry, right? And we have a few little tidbits there, but not a whole lot of information about how Jesus got started in ministry and came up and all those kinds of things. But there was this space between that something had to have happened. Even in the Christmas story itself, right? I've heard a lot of discussion even just over the last couple of weeks about the fact that, you know, when it comes to the nativity scene, any nativity scene that has shepherds and wise men there at the same time is probably not accurate, right? The shepherds were there right when he was born, right? Because the angelic host, and they were there, you know, lying in a manger, in swaddling cloths right there. Every angel singing, shepherds going crazy, Mary pondering all these things in her heart, right? And then they leave and they go tell the good news. Well, the thing is that in that story, they leave before we hear anything about wise men. And then when the wise men eventually show up in Matthew chapter 2, there's not really any mention of shepherds being there or anything. In fact, it's possible it could be as many as 2 years between the birth of Jesus and the arrival of the wise men. And so my question is, like, what is happening in this space in between? What is happening between the time that Jesus is born and the shepherds are there and celebrating in the time between in that time between when the wise men show up. Like, I can't imagine what might have been going through Mary and Joseph's minds, right? Like how are they, like when they just have to go about daily life, right? Shepherds are gone, right? All that's happened, all the commotion of the census and everything is done, right? And life is just happening, and diapers got to be changed, and babies got to be fed, and all this kind of stuff. And life happens. Like, what's going on in this space in between when the shepherds are there and when the wise men are there? What's going on in this space in between? And what I want us to do today is I want us to really dive into the space between in our lives as well. I want us to look into a few different settings here that we have, particularly in regard to the life of Jesus, and begin to investigate, like, what are some things that other people did with this space between? You've got one event and another event. This is really important. This is really important. But what's happening in between these two things? What is happening in the space between? Because I think if we can learn what they did, we might be able to learn how we can respond, even in sort of down weeks like between Christmas and New Year's, right? So let's first start out by looking at Luke chapter 2, verses 22 and 23. And you can actually read all the way down through verse 40, starting at verse 22 there. But for the sake of time, I'm only going to read verses 22 and 23. And it says, when the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord. So one of the things we see here is that in this space between when shepherds were there and when wise men were there, the space between when they were given this angelic good news, this confirmation that yes, even as the angels visited you, Mary, that they have also visited these shepherds, and we have this tremendous moment of confirmation of what God is doing in the midst of this. And then 2 years later, or as many as 2 years later, we've got these wise men come and saying, yes, we saw this star in the east, and we brought these gifts to anoint this king. And oh my goodness, like you have these two huge events. And yet, what are Mary and Joseph doing in the middle of this, in this space between? And what we find here is that the one of the things they did was that they were attentive to the law of Moses, and they dedicated Jesus according to the law. See, what they were mindful of is that because, not only because of who Jesus was, but because of who they were, because of the faith that they had in God, they knew that there were some things that they had to do to be in obedience. And so they dedicated their son, their firstborn son, in order, because the law required it. They dedicated him to the Lord. Now, that's one of the things that happened between the shepherds and the wise men. But as we continue to look through the life of Jesus Christ, I know a lot of people have asked, like, well, what happened? You know, Jesus came and he lived and everything like that, but then he died on the cross. It was 3 days before he rose from the dead. Like, what happened in between? What happened between the cross and the resurrection? Right? Well, let me read for you. There's actually very, very little that is said about that. However, there's one text in particular in the Gospels, in Matthew chapter 27, that talks about what was done in that time. And I want to dive into this here real quick. Matthew chapter 27, verses 62 through 66. And it says, the next day, the one after preparation day. So again, preparation day was Good Friday. That was the day that Jesus died on the cross. It was a preparation for the Sabbath day. So in other words, this is the Sabbath day that we find here in verse 62. And the next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. Sir, they said, we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, after 3 days, I will rise again. So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first. Verse 65. Take a guard, Pilate answered. Go make the tomb as secure as you know how. So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard. So again, you have these two huge events. You've got the cross of Jesus Christ, where he was able to shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. And he was able to be that perfect sacrifice. And then we know 3 days later is coming the resurrection of Jesus. And the only account that we have of what actually happened in that, of what anybody actually did on that Sabbath day, that day in between, is this account right here. And the only thing that happened was that it was ordered that a seal was to be put all the way around the tomb in order that they could ensure that the disciples wouldn't steal anything. Here's what I want you to see in this. In this space between the cross and the resurrection, Pilate and these leaders here that came before Pilate, all they wanted to do was to try to keep try to keep Jesus from really interfering in their lives. They were doing everything they could to try to seal him up, to try to hold him down, to try to make sure that this message of Jesus never got out. And so they tried to seal this off just to make sure they could kind of pretend like it never happened. If he never rises from the dead, if he never comes out of this tomb, then his disciples are going to go away. The problem will be over. We can go on with our lives. We don't have to worry about all this Jesus stuff. You see that? The cross and the resurrection. And in this space between, all they could think about was, how can we just keep this Jesus stuff from messing with our lives? There was also, as Jesus was walking the earth and before the cross, there was a time where he called his disciples to him. And not only did he call them to him, but he also eventually called them to be disciple makers, right? But there was this space in between of that as well, right? So there are these awesome moments where Jesus called his disciples to follow him. And then there's the Great Commission, where he tells them to go and to make disciples of others. But what happened in that space between there, right? Well, we know that there were several things that happened, really, right? We know that for each and every one of them, it began with this call to follow, and they left everything behind. We heard testimonies of how some of the tax collectors just left their tax booths and went on with him. Fishermen who left their boats and their family and their business, and they went with Jesus. That was part of what was happening in that time. But not only that, but there was also a time of wonder, right? They saw Jesus do these awesome miracles, and they were asking themselves, like, who is this guy? Like how does he do these things? How is this even possible? I know I want to follow him and everything, but this guy's unlike anybody I've ever seen before. Like, he's even kind of blowing my mind in all of this, right? There were also times of failure. Like, how many times do we see Jesus look at his disciples and say, "Oh, you of little faith," right? Like, come on, part of them being with him is that there were some times where they didn't actually live up to the expectations of what Jesus had for them. And so even though they responded to the call, and eventually there was going to be this great commission in this space between, some of that included failing in their following of Jesus. Yet, there were also times where they put their faith in action. And Jesus sent out the disciples to minister to the towns before he got there. And they were able to see demons fall. And they were able to see people get healed and demons get cast out. And people were saved and all kinds of stuff, right? And all because they put their faith into action. All of this culminated with the great sending of the great commission of Jesus to his disciples, as he said to them, now you go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And I'll be with you always, even to the very end of the age, right? And what we see here is that as the life of a disciple started and Jesus' call to them and asking them to follow him. And it was sort of sandwiched in, if you will, by the Great Commission of going and making disciples. And that space between what we find in all of these different elements is that they were in deep relationship with Jesus. In their following, they were in relationship with Jesus. In their failing, they were in relationship with Jesus. As they put their faith into action, they were in relationship with Jesus, right? Even in the Great Commission itself, even in their sending, they were in great relationship with Jesus. Now, the other component that we have to really take into consideration as well is this space between old life and new life. What happens in that space between when we hear the good news of Jesus and we actually receive that for ourselves? And we have an account of that in John chapter 3, where we see that Nicodemus is very interested in the things of Jesus, and he's a Pharisee of all people, right? And yet he's very interested in the things of Jesus, and you can kind of hear him like leaning into what Jesus is calling to do. And let me just read for you verses 3 and 4 out of John chapter 3. In verses 3 and 4, he says, Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." How can someone be born when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Surely you cannot enter a second time into a mother's womb to be born. See, here, Nicodemus, he had heard the good news of Jesus. He had seen him doing all these wonderful things, but he hadn't yet got on board with understanding of what it means to really follow him. And so in this space between, what Nicodemus did was he investigated and he asked questions. And when he didn't know, he asked and he sought out Jesus, even if it meant that he had to meet up with him at nighttime, like it did here in John chapter 3. He didn't just let life go by. He didn't just stop. He recognized that there is this space in between that I have to do something with right now. And if I don't ask my questions of Jesus, I might not ever get them answered. Church, I just want you to recognize that we ourselves are always in this space in between. We even right now, you as you're watching this, you may already know that you have heard the voice of God in your life, and you know that he is calling you to do some things. You know that Jesus is challenging you to step out in faith. You know the Holy Spirit is really just stirring some things up in your heart, yet you have not yet gotten to the point where you're acting on that faith and where you're saying yes to him entirely. And now you're all in this space in between, and you are having to decide, what am I going to do right now? Am I going to dedicate myself to following God and saying yes to him? Or am I going to seal up the tomb to make sure that I don't ever have, that I'm just going to put that out of my mind and make sure I never have to deal with that again? Am I going to investigate the things of God? Am I truly going to build this relationship with Jesus? Or am I just simply going to close my ears to the voice of God in order that he might not mess up my life? See, church, we find ourselves right now in the midst of this space in between. And the world changer, that Jesus Christ himself, who was prophesied about all the way back in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, he is the one who is standing at the door and knocking on the door of your heart and is calling you to follow him and to be his disciple. And we right now find ourselves in this space in between where we're going to decide, are we going to follow him or are we going to seal him off? Are we going to dedicate ourselves to him or are we just going to be busy about other things? Are we really going to ask our questions and investigate him, or are we just going to pretend like life is all about us? See, church, we find ourselves at a very particular time as a church as well. We've been talking about what it means to be disciples and to be disciple makers. Most of us have heard what it is to be a disciple and have heard what it is to be a disciple maker, but not all of us have actually taken the faith steps to move toward that. And what I want us to begin to look at is, now that we find ourselves in this space in between, how are we going to respond to that as a church? As we look at being disciple makers, are we going to dedicate ourselves to the Great Commission of being disciples that make disciples? Or are we just going to try to seal off this part of the good news, pretending like it doesn't really apply to us, imagining that if we just keep it behind the wall, that it doesn't have to be our business at all? Or are we going to investigate this thing? Are we going to pour ourselves into a relationship with Jesus? Are we going to find a way that we can build a relationship with someone who can disciple us? See, because when it comes right down to it, it's not just a matter of us knowing the message of Jesus, right? This space between is yes, it's important that we know what Jesus said. It's important that we recognize that through his life, death, and resurrection, like, we can be made free, we can be forgiven, we can be made whole, like all of those things. But we need to recognize that Jesus did this a particular way. And the way that he invested in his disciples and the way that he led them to being disciple makers was in relationship with him. Church, if we are going to be people that are really taking on this vision of being disciple makers and being a disciple making church, then we have to be intentional about seeking out people that will disciple us. We need to be intentional about seeking out people that we know are farther along in the conversation, farther along in the investigation, farther along in the dedication, farther along in their road of discipleship, seeking them out and saying, hey, I know I need to grow in this too, and I would love to be in a relationship with you where you can help show me how to do that. See, I can hunt you down, and I can try to browbeat you, and I can feed you with the word, and I can give you the vision, and I can inspire you, and I can motivate you. But if all the energy is coming from me, it's going to be really hard for you to keep that up. No, what we need as a church is for each and every one of us to say, you know what? I'm going to motivate myself. I'm going to make the decision to dedicate myself and to investigate things and to build my relationship not only with Jesus, but with another believer that's part of Houston First that can show me what it is not only to be a disciple, but to be a disciple maker. Are you willing to take that step? What are you going to do right now? See, because the truth of the matter is, you find yourself in the space between right now, because you started this video and you began to hear this word, and in just a moment you're going to turn off this video and you're going to begin to make some steps. You're going to begin to make some decisions. But right now you find yourself in this space in between, and you're going to make a decision. Are you in or are you not? Are you a disciple maker or are you a sideliner? Are you sealing things off or are you investigating? I'm not saying you have to have all the answers. What I'm asking is, are you willing to jump in? Are you willing to jump into the mission, jump into the vision to multiply God's church here at the Houston First? I believe that God is able to do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine in you and in me and in this church. But it takes all of us saying, you know what? I'm not going to pretend like it doesn't belong to me. This Great Commission belongs to me as well. No one is expecting you to know how to do this right now. No one's saying you got to have all the answers, and no one's saying that you got to feel like an expert. No, that's why we need to be in a relationship with other people, because we got to learn how to do this. But we don't just learn it by memorizing verses. We learn it by being in a relationship and living out what the Bible is really supposed to look like. Church, these are very exciting times. And here in just a moment, we're going to sing one last song. And we're gonna bring this video to an end. And you're going to decide by the decisions that you make right now and right after this video is turned off, you're going to decide, how am I going to move forward? Am I dedicating myself or am I sealing it off? Am I investigating? Am I building a relationship? What am I going to do? What are you going to do? Church, I'm excited. Because I believe God is going to do a mighty thing in us. I believe God is going to use 2021 to do some things that we've never seen before. And I believe he's going to do it in and through you. Let's do this together. Let's join this mission together. Let's really dedicate ourselves to this together. This is the space between right now. Let the world changer change your life. Say yes to him. And we will all see God be glorified. Lord God, I thank you so much for your presence. I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Lord, for the mission that you have given your disciples to be disciple makers. And I thank you, Lord, for this space and time right now that we have to decide what we're going to do and how we're going to respond. Lord, I pray that you would help us to respond in faithfulness to you. Overcome every bit of fear and insecurity, God. Lord, I pray that you would mute the voice of the devil in our minds, God, that you would erase every imagination that might say that we aren't good enough and that we can't do it, Lord, for we know that you are able, God. We know that nothing is impossible with you. We know, Father, that you can accomplish your will for your glory, and if you can use anything you want, however you want, whenever you want, God, we submit ourselves to you right now to be anything in this moment, so that you can use us for your glory, for your mission, for your church, for your kingdom. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you, church.